Very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all. How was your weekend?
It was lovely, thank you. It was really hot and sunny and lovely.
Oh, no, wasn't it great?
How was your wedding?
Oh, lovely, lovely. Cried loads. I cried all the way
Oh.
home in the car yesterday
Oh.
and still crying this morning,
Oh.
wishing I was there.
Oh, bless.
Oh, so Zoe, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing at the
Oh.
obesity doodah.
Doodah. I went to an obesity doodah, also called an obesity conference,
Yeah.
last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, up in Liverpool, if I'm allowed to say that word. And
Yeah,
it
it's
was
fairly safe.
at.
Joe's been told off for, you know,
My
being cheap.
cheap gags.
Yes,
We'll
disrespectful
call it
to scousers.
the obesity doodah from now on, but it was so interesting. It really was fascinating.
So what did it consist of? Because obviously the whole theme was obesity, but how did they stretch that out over 3 days? What I mean, what is there to
Without
say
any
about it?
food.
No, there was food. They did feed us. The stuff on the agenda is just so varied. You could talk about obesity for the rest of the year. They had stuff on genetics, on childhood obesity. They had stuff on surgery. Had some patients talking about what it's like to be overweight and how that's all people see when they first see you. They had loads of stuff on the psychology of obesity. How do you feel if you're overweight? Some of it gets really, really technical. They get into all these, impacts of drugs on different parts of the body. But just the whole lot is just amazing. There is so much happening.
People do treat you differently if you're a big fatty tum, don't they? Because I reckon if you go for an interview and you're a fatty, even though the person interviewing you might be fat as well, they still think fat equals lazy. And so they obviously think, oh, how on earth did they manage to drag themselves in here today?
Do you know, you are so right. They actually did a study which was presented at the conference in Personnel Today, which is one of these sort of senior manager director publications. And they'd interviewed three senior managers in 2007. And 79% actually said it was perfectly acceptable to discriminate against overweight people for exactly the reasons that you said. They say we take one look at them and say, lazy, out of control, good for nothing, don't want them working in my organisation.
How can that go on these days, though? Because, I mean, if you were to say to somebody, I'm sorry you're too old for this position, or I'm sorry you're a woman and I want a man, or I'm sorry the colour of your skin isn't acceptable to me, then there's all sorts of, regulatory bodies that would step straight in there.
Absolutely. Do you know, you are so right. It actually is the last acceptable, in inverted commas, because I don't think it is acceptable, but it's become the last acceptable ism. As you say, you can't discriminate on the basis of age, gender, religion, religious belief, race, sexual orientation, all of those now. We've just said, look, come on, treat everybody the same. But that survey said that 4 out of 5 people think it's perfectly acceptable to make judgments about somebody when they see their size. It's just
Wow.
shocking. If I see an overweight person, I think there's a calorie counter, there's a victim of the wrong advice, and feel desperately sorry for them. I do not see that person as weak-willed, greedy in any way, shape, or form. I could virtually guarantee they eat less than I do, and
So,
I just feel desperately sorry for them.
was it a bit of a laugh or was it very sad, this thing?
Oh, it was both, actually. I mean, the patients bit, when these two patients stood up, this woman stood up and she said, I'm a professor, I'm a PhD. She started this charity, she's done that. She was one of the most remarkable women I have ever met. And she said, and yet, what do you see when I stand up here on this platform? She said, all you see is my fat. And people who do see her out in the street, you can't help but think, yes, actually, I think you've just said a truism there. You know, they don't see you're a brilliant, brainy woman with a PhD and a professorship. They just don't look past that layer of fat. So that was really sad.
Ah,
welcome to
not
our
the
world.
funny bits. There were some funny bits, though. The funniest bit was they had some exercise people, and they said the biggest challenge they face is they're trying to get these people to wear pedometers to check how many steps they're doing per day, and of course they keep falling down the toilet.
Oh no.
Yes, they go to see, how have you been getting on with your pedometer? But every other day they drop it down the toilet. I thought it was
Gross.
quite fun. And then the other funny comment, I'll have to put it into sort of normal words. This guy was having a bit of a pop at all this surgery that's going on and the stomach stapling and gastric bypass. And he said the words esophagus and anus, but he effectively said, well, of course, if you connect your windpipe to your arsehole, you are going to lose weight.
That's
That's a blunt way of putting it, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, I just want to ask you something, though, Zoe. What about the people that had had surgery? Had they put on any weight, or have they managed to keep it off?
No. Oh, that is such a fascinating question. There was a guy, the two patients that spoke, one was waiting for the surgery, one had had the surgery, and he showed us a photo of himself when he was about, I don't know, 30, 40 stone. And then a photo when he was normal weight and absolutely thrilled with himself. And then as he stood on the platform, he said, look, I know I'm putting it back on. And he must have put on about 4 or 5 stone.
What?
Just looking at him. And I actually sat next to him at one of the course dinners. And he
did he eat your pudding?
See, there you go. You're making an assumption.
I know, but that's because I would be like that. I'd be eyeballing everyone's leftovers.
But no, but it's so interesting because he did eat the pudding. And what he couldn't eat, he actually said to someone, oh, how tender is the lamb? Because he couldn't easily digest meat. It had to be almost liquidized. So he left the lamb and managed some of the vegetables, but then he was quite able to manage the tart we had for pudding with sort of creme anglaise or whatever. And I just thought, you should have eaten the lamb and the vegetables and not the pudding, and you'd have had a really good meal.
Oh, dear.
It changes what you can eat as well, so no wonder he's putting it back on.
Let me ask you a question.
Surgery's not the way forward.
Go for it, Fresh.
Right, here's a question. What about for people who actually like food? Because there are, you know, some people overeat and they don't know why they overeat, but some people, and I'm one of them, just like food. I appreciate food and some, you know, even if
you
I
like cooking it and everything, don't you, darling?
I love cooking and I love food. I mean, there's some things I can eat and then I won't touch it again for ages and ages and ages, but sometimes I can see something and think, yeah, I could really fancy that or I really appreciate that. How do you still enjoy food but not overdo it?
Gosh, that's a really good question, actually. I mean, you can just say, look, if you're a gourmand or whatever, you're a chef, just go for it if that's your life. You know, be whatever size you want to be. I think if you stick to real food, and good chefs cook from real ingredients, there's no processed emulsifiers and maltodextrin and all that kind of stuff in home-cooked cooking. Mm. So if you only eat real stuff, or, you know, meat, fish, eggs, vegetables, dairy, whole grains, pulses, and then you don't mix your fats and your carbs, you can't go far wrong.
So do you think that's the main problem? There is just too much processed stuff?
Yes, absolutely. We're eating 400 calories per day of sugar per person in the UK. Just sugar. No vitamins, no minerals. Just pure 400 calories of energy. Nothing else.
See, now I can understand that because I popped into the supermarket the other day and it was, I think it was sort of just after, well, it's kind of mid-afternoon and I think I'd eaten about 11:30 and it was like about 2:30 or something. And I thought, well, I could do with something. And I thought, I know what I'm going to have. I'm going to have some pre-cooked chicken.
Yeah, that's all right. So
I thought, but then I looked at the pack and it was cooked and sliced, but it wasn't just chicken. It was like, it was about 92% chicken. And then there was things like dextrose syrup and other stuff in there. And I thought, why can't they just cook chicken, slice it up and pack it?
Yep.
Why did it have all the other stuff in it then?
Well, I presume it's preservatives, is it?
It is not necessary. I mean, if you look at the intake of household sugar, it's about a fifth of what it was 25 years ago. So you meet people and say, oh, I don't put sugar in my tea, I don't put it on my cereal anymore. No, but we have still managed to increase the consumption of sugar, not through the stuff we put in our tea, but just generally through it being in every other single food out there. I'm so thrilled that you're looking at the packaging on things like chicken. I would love to put a tax on sugar, not a fat tax, which they've talked about, but any product containing sugar, just slap 100% tax on it straight away. And then they would stop putting it in tins of chickpeas. I've seen it in cottage cheese. You can't, you know, why do you need sugar in kidney beans?
It's fascinating to actually look at the labels on some of the stuff. Now, things like sauces or relishes or things like that, they always have a really long list of ingredients. But if you go and look at the labels on simple things, like a pack of pre-cooked chicken, where you would expect it to be, what it says on the label.
Chicken.
Cooked chicken breast sliced. So this was with no marinade, it was just plain chicken, or I thought it was plain chicken, but then you turn it over and you find that it's not 100% chicken at all.
So about the chickens you get on the spit roast? Are they all right?
It depends where they're cooked. I mean, if they're in, you know, sort of local Italian restaurant or something and that's just how they cook the chicken, it's just going to be a bird that was plucked out of the field, stuck on a skewer and roasted, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because there's one at my butcher's, but sometimes he has barbecue sauce on it. That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, take that off.
It can be. I mean, you can have a sort of spicy barbecue sauce with no sugar in, but if it looks glazed, that's your big clue that it's got sugar and or syrup. If it looks sort of dry and powdery, like a sort of tandoori chicken, just with those spices on, or even the yogurt dressing on chicken stuff, then it's just fine.
Oh, that's all right then.
We've just been tricked by all these naughty food companies sticking sugar in everywhere.
What is the reliance on sugar, do you think? Why do they seem to stick it in everything?
Gosh, that's a good question, actually, because it doesn't give us any nutrients. It's probably quite a cheap product to add to food. That's certainly why trans fats are added to food. They're a lot cheaper than
using... Do you think it just keeps it fresher, then?
Well, no, preservatives would keep things fresher.
Oh.
Trans fats do keep things fresher. There's a guy in the US, apparently, that goes on talk shows with an angel cake that he made 20 years ago from trans fats. And he goes on the show, and this cake is still in pristine condition. Yeah,
wow.
Seriously.
That's scary.
I know. Oh, the stuff that they're putting in our bodies. It's scary, and I shouldn't laugh about it, because it's downright unsafe and not healthy. And, you know, we don't have two-thirds of the UK overweight for nothing. It's just irresponsible.
So I think the advice is check the labels.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Check the labels.
Well, Zoe, once again, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I haven't had my most amazing fact yet.
Oh, go on, give us an amazing fact.
Most amazing fact from the conference. A person with a body mass index of 35 has 93 times the risk of developing type 2 diabetes than a person with a BMI of 21.
Wow.
Oh.
BMI of 21? Blimey, I'll never get there.
No, not me. Not me.
I was aiming for 25.
Well, 25 is great, and your risk then is almost negligible. Your chance of getting type 2 diabetes, if you've got a normal BMI, is almost negligible. Absolutely fascinating. The single biggest thing you can avoid and do to avoid diabetes in later life is be the right weight.
Oh, so
do you buy into this BMI thing?
Well, it's a good thing. I mean, I did actually say, well, you know, people out there are going to be saying, well, what is a BMI of 35? Well, if you're an average woman, 5'4", and you're 14 and a half stone, that's a BMI of 35. Average bloke of 5'9", weight of 17 stone, that's a BMI of 35. So that's what it is. It's not stop you in the, you know, street Disney, Florida, you know, I've never seen such a fat person. That is, you know, not unnormal in the UK. So it is a very useful measure. And the other very useful measure that goes with it is the waist measurement. Because you can be, you know, a rugby player or an American football player, and on the BMI scale, you will be obese. You know, Shane Williams, sorry, you know, that's my Welsh god. Shane Williams is officially obese, but he's an absolute little powerhouse running machine. But his waist will be something like 30, 32.
Yeah, and see...
If your waist is tiny, then it's okay.
Yes, yes.
Because my waist is quite small. It's just my hips that stick out. As Fresh said,
that's
it looks
the best
like
way I've... to have it. I know none of us.
Fresh keeps saying I've got a couple of window boxes on my hips.
None of us women like being pear-shaped, but it's healthier to be pear-shaped than apple. If you're carrying your fat around your heart and your trunk and your body and your tummy, you've got far more risk of heart disease. So you, my lovely, are likely to live long and healthy.
Well, that's good to know.
There you go. Now you've opened the floodgates to her to get back in the larder.
No.